Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us. This is number 7 of our series entitled The Life and Letters of the Apostle Paul. Today we're going to discuss the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, this man who was a Pharisee who, just like the man in the parable that our Lord told in the Gospel of Luke, felt he was better than many others. And he even he himself said he excelled above others. And most likely despised others. Well, we're going to see that here. And if you have your Bibles, if you turn with us to Acts chapter 9, we're going to read a certain passage here. And remember, why we're doing this is because the Apostle Paul, God himself makes the Apostle Paul something very special for us. Remember, he is not the greatest apostle. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest apostle. But Paul is our chosen messenger for us Gentiles today. Paul tells us in his letter that, he says, "Faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, foremost of whom am I." And then he says this, "But therefore was I shown mercy, that in me the foremost, Jesus Christ should be displaying all his patience for a pattern of those who are about to be believing on him, for life aeonian." And Paul is a pattern of salvation. Paul himself is our pattern. We're going to see in chapter 9 of Acts today how that salvation is displayed at first to Paul. And not only is Paul a pattern in salvation, but we're going to see in his letters is he's a pattern of sanctification as well. And in his letters, we learn not only how we are justified before God, but we also learn how to have a proper holy life. And only that, the way to live, to have a holy life, to want to live a holy life, and I know many of you do out there, and I'm hoping all of you do, but so often we try to invent our own ways of holiness rather than follow God's way of holiness. And just to give you a little hint, we see the foundation of holiness lies in Romans chapter 6. But back to our topic, in 2 Timothy, Paul says that his message, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, "Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So Paul himself personally is a pattern in salvation, and Paul's message, his words, for us, those words are found in Romans through Philemon, are a pattern for us as well. So we're going to go to Acts 9, and I want to show you the next chapter 9, we read this. And by the way, I am reading from the Concordant Literal New Testament, and as far as I'm concerned, it's probably the best Bible that you can possibly get, because it translates the original better than this. "Now Saul, still breathing out threats," notice the word "still." In the Concordant Version, it says, "Now Saul still breathes of the Lord." In other words, right at the very time Paul is still in the activity of going after those who called upon the name of the Lord. If you recall, if you're a Bible reader out there, in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, Stephen gave this great testimony of the nation of Israel. And at the end of that testimony, and while they stoned Stephen, it says that he says, "Lord, receive my spirit." Now kneeling, he cries with a loud voice, "Lord, thou shouldest not stand against them in this sin." And saying this, he was put to repose. Yet Saul was endorsing his assassination. So there was Saul endorsing. He cast a vote and said, "Yep, Stephen deserves to die." And Saul saw that heavenly face of Stephen. And here he is, mad in Acts chapter 9, still breathing out threatening and murder against the disciples of the Lord. This is important because we're going to see that when God saved Saul of Tarsus, he did not wait till Saul changed his views or lived a better life. God, Christ came and saved this man, Saul of Tarsus, while he was in the midst of his threatening and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and saved him by pure grace, friends. That's how God saves. God finds any cause in the recipient. Grace finds all of its motivation itself. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, "You know what? If that person lives up just like he's doing here for Saul of Tarsus." Now Saul, still breathing out threatening and murder against the disciples of the Lord, approaching the chief priests request from him letters for Damascus to the synagogues, so that if he should be finding any who are of the way, both men and women, he may be leading them bound to Jerusalem. And so, Paul, now I want you to imagine, here is Paul leaving Jerusalem and the busyness of the city, and he goes out to a deserted area. Imagine his feelings as he goes up this hot road. Think about it. Paul, I bet you the face of Stephen haunted him as he remembered the testimony that Stephen gave. I bet you Paul had a lot of things going on. As a matter of fact, we read that he was kicking against the ox goats during this time. I think Paul's conscience was haunting him at this time. Maybe thoughts went through his mind like, is Peter right? Was Stephen right? Is this Jesus really the Messiah? But he couldn't entertain such thoughts. He had been trained a Pharisee, and he could never undo all that. So here he is on his way up to Damascus. Now in his going, he came to be nearing Damascus. Suddenly, a light out of heaven flashes about him. I want you to notice the term suddenly. And there's no process here. There's a sudden appearance of the risen Christ to Saul of Tarsus. Suddenly, a light out of heaven flashes about him. And we do not read next that God judges Saul. This is what you would expect from a man who was doing what he was doing. Paul, Saul of Tarsus here, was murdering and threatening. And God doesn't judge this man. Notice what God's going to do. Suddenly a light out of heaven flashes about him. And falling on the earth, he hears a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yet he said, Who art thou, Lord? Yet he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Imagine how Paul felt now, Saul of Tarsus. Excuse me for confusing these. I have no script here, and I'm not going to go back and edit out all my mistakes. We kind of wing in here, and we don't want to appear like a genius. We're just teaching the scriptures and without any editing. So he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yet he said, Who art thou, Lord? Yet he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Imagine that. Imagine what must have went through Saul's mind as he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Nevertheless, rise and enter the city, and it will be spoken to you what you must be doing. And so here this Saul has an appearance of the risen Christ, and he knocks him off his horse. And by the way, I just want to do a real quick comparison here before we go on in this talk in Acts 9. The Apostle Paul has a different commission than that of the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles were called by the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. Paul was called by the risen and ascended Christ from heaven. The 12 were chosen before the ascension of Christ, and before his crucifixion even. The Apostle Paul was chosen after the ascension. The 12 apostles were chosen by Christ in the land of Israel. Paul was chosen by Christ outside the land. The 12 were commissioned to go to the circumcision, that is the Jews. Paul was commissioned to go to the uncircumcision. The 12 spoke about the earthly life of our Lord Jesus before his ascension. And Paul was concerned he begins his message with the Lord in glory. So there are distinctions between the message of the 12 apostles and the message of Paul. And we see it instantly in his conversion, where Saul is converted, this man who was called the chief of sinners. This man is converted by the risen Savior, by a personal appearance. He doesn't judge him, but he's going to save him. And this is a typical salvation, God bringing salvation to those who deserve the opposite. But it's grace, not judgment today. God is saving us by pure grace. And it says, verse 7, Now the men who are journeying with him stood dumbfounded, hearing indeed the sound, yet beholding no one. Now Saul was raised from the earth, yet his eyes being open, he observed nothing. Now, leading him by the hand, they led him into Damascus, and he was 3 days not observing anything, and he neither ate nor drank. Now imagine this Saul of Tarsus during these 3 days. He had been blinded by the risen Christ and his glory. He saw a light so bright that it so eclipsed the traditions of the fathers that he had held. The light that he saw on the road to Damascus was so bright it far outshone all the law that he tried to keep as a Pharisee. This was surely greater than the traditions of his fathers. He met the risen Christ. And friends, we don't have a religion today. We have a person. We have a risen Savior. We need to get to know the Savior that met Saul of Tarsus and converted him on the road to Damascus. And we'll pick up on this thought next time.